32. Thera was speaking to me. I knew that because I could see her mouth moving, only I couldn't make sense of her words, because I was too busy focusing on the words in front of my face, and the fact that my aura had gone from full to non-existent in an instant. Your summoned monster, Diplodocus, has been destroyed. Your summoned monster, Queenie, has been destroyed. Worse, as I craned my head toward where I'd sent them and used the new tricks of my newly regenerated aura to focus my auric sense in that direction, I found that I couldn't find any trace of anything other than a bit of residual heat, though that wouldn't have been enough to make me think they'd been killed by it. Sure, anything could have, I suppose, taken out Runty, since he was still low level, but Queenie? That sounded absurd. Sorry, Thera, I said as I looked at the chieftain of the Blue Palm Clan. Something is wrong. I glanced around the area where the villagers were busily preparing for a second feast. I think you should get everyone ready for a fight, just in case.
Very well,
Thera said, catching the look in my eye. I was pleased she hadn't asked, in case of what, because I wouldn't have known. What I did know was that strange feeling of being watched had returned. And like last time, I was pretty sure it wasn't from the weird rock in Thera's hut.
I'll get the warriors assembled.
Thank you, I replied, as I re-summoned Queenie to my side.
I am sorry, Master.
She looked at the ground between our feet.
I know what you want to know, but I am unsure of what killed me.
It was true, and a quick glance through her memories confirmed that. She had been flying toward the orange feather bastards when she just ceased to exist. Even a quick look at her damage logs was unhelpful. Queenie had been critically hit by an unknown attack for over 3 times her health. Runty's log proved similar, which was equal parts annoying and frustrating since it meant something ridiculously strong was out there. Okay, I said, as I took a deep breath and let it out through my nose. Let's just come at this a different way. I nodded to Queenie as I summoned a few dozen spyguars. Take them out there and figure out what the fuck happened.
As you wish, Master,
the Ant Queen replied, before taking off into the air with a host of spyguars that she sent out in various directions. I took a moment to watch the strange flying jaguar spiders vanish into the sky before turning my attention back to the village. Part of me wanted to finish the walls, but since I'd need to have the villagers sing again to call up the power required for such a massive undertaking, I wasn't sure I wanted to do that right now. Not when Thera was busy readying them for war. Instead, I settled on summoning several Troodons, golems, ice spiders, and assorted other creatures and moving them around the village to act as scouts slash early defenders. That's when the gauntlet on my wrist pulsed. And as I looked down at it, I realized what I did have time for. I spun on my heel and headed back toward Thera's hut. Inside, that strange rock was still sitting there. And before I even realized what I was doing, I reached out and touched it. This time, sparks leapt from its surface and cascaded across the gauntlet on my arm. And as it did, I felt it try to draw my hand inside. I allowed it to do so. And as my arm sank up to the elbow into the stone, a strange sense of understanding filled me. when I'd been back on Amorphi, I'd seen a vision of the sword repaired, and it had been much, much stronger. I wasn't sure what was out there, but I knew one thing. Having more power was always a good thing. I withdrew my hand from the rock, and like with my sword, it was harder to do because the stone seemed to suck at my gauntlet. It hadn't been long, but already I could see it had been repaired, albeit barely. I quickly drew the sword of the Destroyer King and plunged it into the rock. I had half a mind to leave my gauntlet as well, but I wasn't sure if that would reduce the time it took to fix my sword, and something told me I'd need my gauntlet. After all, if there was something that could ROFL stomp Queenie without her even knowing it was there, well, I wanted to know where its weakness lay. That's when I felt the tug on my aura from outside the village. It was in an area beyond where I'd crafted the stone walls, and as I shifted my vision to Rocky, who stood guard there, I saw a bunch of orange-feathered assholes coming straight toward the walls. Normally, that would have just pissed me off. After all, it wasn't like they were riding Tyrannosaurus or anything. No. What made my heart sink into my toes was that they all had glowing hands, and as Rocky began to lumber towards the first attackers, they straight up destroyed him with a flurry of fireballs, which was probably why they were attacking the wooden-walled section of the village. Still, that wouldn't be too much of a problem. There might have been a couple of dozen oranges, but I was well over level 50, and I had an army at my fingertips.
"Garrett, it's the oranges," Thera said as she poked her head into the tent. Only she looked way more worried than I expected. "I do not know how, but they have the power of fire in their hands."
"I saw," I said, as I related to Queenie what was going on over the link. Then I did the most awesomest thing I could think of as I ran toward the gate. As I got there, I summoned 6 forest giants onto the field, and as the 20-foot-tall behemoths appeared from thin air and rose to their full height, the oranges hesitated, which was when I summoned the sharktopus from the pattern I'd gotten before we'd left Amorphi. The massive squid shark appeared in the center of the field, all snapping jaws and writhing tentacles, and immediately began to draw on my aura because, unlike the Samlin of this world, it wasn't like the damn thing could survive outside of the water for long. Fortunately, I'd planned for that. I directed my giants to pick up the massive sharktopus and charge forward with it on their shoulders before hurling it directly into the midst of the oranges. Needless to say, their line broke like a diet at Thanksgiving as the sharktopus lashed out with its tentacles, alternately ripping apart oranges and shoving them into its gnashing jaws. That was when my Troodons and spiders appeared from the bushes all around the oranges. The spiders threw icy nets that bound the fleeing oranges to the ground an instant before the Troodons leapt atop them and tore them to shreds. I'd like to say the whole thing took a long time, but it didn't, as I let the sharktopus summon go a few moments later, because summoning it on dry land had drained my aura by 3/4, I surveyed the field, ready to leap into battle, and found that it was already over. Sure, there were a few oranges scattered about in various states of not dead, but honestly, there weren't many. I called for my giants and Troodons to surround whatever survivors remained, and then turned to smile at Thera, who was staring at the battlefield with her jaw hanging open in a cute sort of awed look.
"That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen,"
she said as she looked me up and down.
"You are truly powerful, Garrett Andrews."
Normally, I'd have replied to that. But that's when messages flashed across my vision in rapid succession.
"Your summoned monster, Queenie, has been destroyed. Your summoned monster, Spygwar, 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 has been destroyed."
They kept going. And it didn't take a genius to know that whatever heavy hitter was out there had routed my troops as well. I switched as quickly as I could to one of my last remaining Spygwars and had just enough time to fuse with it before I was destroyed in a flurry of heat and flame. And I'd gotten no more information from it than I'd had before. It pissed me off, but fortunately, I had a way to deal with that. Or so I hoped.
"Thera, you haven't said anything yet," I said, as I moved onto the battlefield and approached a fallen orange with Thera beside me. This one was pretty buff-looking and had a strangely familiar mark on his chest. Well, what was left of his chest, because the bastard had been bitten in half, so blood, gore, and torn flesh obscured it. Not that it mattered to me. I raised my hand over the corpse and used auric extraction.
"Pattern. Orange Hand Tribe Member has been learned. Would you like to create an Orange Hand Tribe Member?"
"Do you recognize that mark?" I asked as I dismissed the message and turned to Thera. "The weird glowing sun on his chest?"
"It is not one I'm familiar with," she said with a shake of her head, before turning toward the survivors.
Honestly, I wasn't sure what the level of healing magic was on this world, but there were a few I didn't expect to make it. Thera must have agreed, because as we strode through the battlefield toward the survivors, she hefted her club and then shattered the skulls of those with what looked like critical injuries.
"A mercy,"
she said, without turning to look at me, though from the look of things, she seemed to be gearing up for an argument.
"They're your prisoners as far as I'm concerned," I shrugged, when she seemed to sigh in relief.
"So long as you leave the ones able to talk alone for long enough for me to have a chat with them, I don't give a flying Troodon what you do with them."
"That is a fair request."
She turned and looked at me.
"You are strange in many ways I greatly appreciate, Garrett."
She smiled at me.
"Not many would approve of what I did. My brother Kanil would try to save them, though they meant to kill us, and would expend valuable resources to do so."
"Well, you know what I always say," I chuckled.
"The best thing in life is to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentations of their women."
"Interesting."
Thera's eyes twinkled mischievously.
"I would have thought it better to hear the moans of their women instead."
She shrugged.
"But to each their own."
Then, as more of her clan came rushing out onto the field, she turned back to those she deemed healthy enough to live.
"The battle is over already?"
Denno said with a scowl as he surveyed the carnage.
"And I didn't even get a piece of the orange-feathered bastards,"
he sighed.
"You'll have your chance."
Thera glanced at me.
"Because I have a feeling our new friend won't let an attack like this stand."
"No," I shook my head. "Not even a little."
"Good."
Thera glared at the survivors before turning to the gathered members of her tribe.
You all know what to do. Strip the dead of valuables, then move their bodies to the traps. Bring the survivors to the holding hut. Garrett and I will speak with them there.
As the clan members broke to their tasks and she moved to join in, I summoned Queenie from the auric pocket once more.
Not having good luck, are we? I said as I gave her a hug.
No, Master. It shames me that I was still unable to figure out what was down there.
She hung her head.
And you will not,
one of the oranges said with a laugh. As I turned to look at the big man as he was led toward the hut, I recognized the symbol on his chest. It blazed with gold and fire, but it still made my blood run cold as ice. Because that symbol, the one blazing on his chest like the sun itself, it was the gift of fire and flame. And there was only one person that I knew of that could bestow such a powerful gift. Titania, the Fairy Queen of Summer. And if my experience with the woman in Terra Forma was anything like the reality of dealing with her, I knew one thing to be true. We were absolutely fucked. Or were we? I took a deep breath and then headed over to Thera. She looked over at me and must have caught the look in my eyes because she grew instantly serious.
What is it, Garrett?
She asked as she moved towards me.
If I'm not mistaken, they will have been put up to this by a woman.
I dropped my hand. She will be about this tall. I met Thera's eyes. I need to know where she is.
Is this woman the one who gave them the power of the sun?
Thera asked as she searched my face. I believe so. I paused. And I may have a way to stop her before she sends more people against us.
Then I will find the information you speak of.
Thera steeled herself, then moved past me, clearly heading for the holding tent. Because we must win the coming battle. She looked at me then. No matter the cost. No matter the cost, I repeated. Then I touched the cold spot on my forehead. No matter the cost.